Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue our evening's worship service with the singing of Psalm 272, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, hear my prayer, and let my cry have ready access unto thee. When in distress to thee I fly, O hide not thou thy face from me. Psalm 272, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 15, starting at verse 22 through 39. I mentioned to you Mark 15, starting at verse 22 through 39. But before, we will read from the Belty Confession, article 21. The satisfaction of Christ, our only high priest for us. We believe that Jesus Christ is ordained with an oath to be an everlasting high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that he hath presented himself in our behalf before the Father to appease his wrath by his full satisfaction, by offering himself on the tree of the cross and pouring out his precious blood to purge away our sins, as the prophets had foretold. For it is written, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and numbered with the transgressors, and condemned by Pontius Pilate as a malefactor, though he had first declared him innocent. Therefore he restored that which he took not away, and suffered the just for the unjust, as well in his body as in his soul, feeling the terrible punishment which our sin had merited, in so much that his sweat became like unto drops of blood falling on the ground. He called out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And have suffered all this for the remission of our sins. Wherefore we justly say with the Apostle Paul, that we know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We count all things but loss and dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose wounds we find all manner of consolation. Neither is there necessity, is it necessary to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only sacrifice, once offered, by which believers are made perfect forever. This is also the reason why he was called by the angel of God, Jesus, that is to say, Savior, because he should save his people from their sins. We mentioned to you Mark chapter 15, starting at verse 22. And they, bringing him into the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against them saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly, this man was the Son of God. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Merciful and gracious, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, on this beautiful day that thou hast given unto us and our children, we have seen the sun shine in creation, and in this evening, on this special day, that we may remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he willingly, voluntarily gave himself to be that sacrifice for sin to satisfy that infinite justice of God, to satisfy that payment, to make that payment for that people who lie under guilt, lost, with a bount of sin on their back and nothing to pay, and they must pay, or that way cannot be opened. Lord, may we beg and ask thee then tonight, as we have gathered in thy house, that thou would be among us. Lord, thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, that thou wilt be in the midst. Lord, wilt thou shine, that sun of righteousness, through thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit? Wilt thou open eyes not only to see who we are, what we deserve, that we are sin, that we are under the curse, under wrath by nature, and only worthy of eternal wrath? But wilt thou also open our eyes and reveal thyself unto us, that precious Lamb of God, who gave himself, who gave his body, who gave his blood, who gave everything for a people who have nothing but sin. Lord, we beg and pray thee that thou would richly bless thy precious word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that sinners tonight on Good Friday may be born again. Oh, then it will be such a good day for them. Lord, that sinners would be brought to repentance today, and that the angels may rejoice in heaven over sinners that begin to confess their sin, who become brokenhearted because of their sin, who become hungry and thirsty for thee, for the living God. Remember those who also have been born again. Oh, those poor and needy sinners, maybe there are also some among us tossed with tempest and not comforted, looking for that way, yet looking in the wrong place. Oh, Lord, wilt thou lead them to deafen everything in themselves, and may they hear it tonight of that only way that thou hast opened through thy shed blood, that way back to the heart of God. Oh, those poor sinners long for communion with thee. They hunger for thee. Oh, wilt thou reveal then unto them for the first time, but also again and by renewal, Lord. Oh, that him and crucified may become our food, our drink. May he become for hungry ones, for thirsty ones, that bread of life, as he has said, I am the bread of life. Oh, wilt thou give faith, and that give that faith may be an exercise, looking outside of self, looking unto thee. Lord, open thy word then. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy word, and give the unction to listen and to receive those blessings. Lord, we are completely dependent upon thee. Without thee, we can do nothing. And Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Look upon us then in mercy, Lord, through thy dear Son, through his merits. Visit us, comfort us with thyself and who thou art, that it may be by thy Spirit truly a blessed Good Friday in the hearts of poor and needy, wretched sinners. Lord, that it may be to the glory of thy name, because when thy people are comforted with thyself, it will return unto thee, praise unto thee. Lord, it is in thy mercy and long-suffering patience that we may gather together as a congregation and with our children to hear what thou hast to say unto us. In this past week, again, we have heard of a tragic accident where of many people also died. Oh, we beg thee, remember them. We do not know who they are, but thou knowest them and their families. Care for their families. Remember all those who are mourning, widows, widowers, those who have lost children, a brother, a sister, other relatives, a friend. Lord, wilt thou sanctify all these callings? We hear it again in this week, that we shall not live forever. The wages of sin is death, and that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. O, wilt thou teach it unto us, and that we may seek that only way, that way to stand before thee in peace through thy Son. Lord, we know it. We've been taught it maybe for many years, but may it become an urgent need, that there may be sinners crying out also today, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and that sinners may be led to cry out, what must I do to be saved? Lord, richly bless thy word. And thou hast not called angels, thou hast called sinful men, and it is through the foolishness of preaching that sinners will be born again, that sinners will be instructed in that way of faith, and through the hearing of thy word, faith will be worked. May it be also tonight. Lord, look upon us then in mercy. Pass us not by. We have left thee never to return. We have given our ear unto Satan, not believing thy word. And we all have our own actual sins. And Lord, thou could justly and righteously leave us in our misery that we have placed ourselves. But may it become such a wonder unto us that thou art yet willing to speak unto us. Give then that we may preach, thus saith the Lord, and that we may hear that it's the Lord's word, that it's from him. Lord, take away all the obstacles and all the hindrances. Oh, that evil one likes to come and speak and disturb and distract, and he likes to whisper, is it so? Oh, may he be cast out, and that thy word may have power, that it may be proclaimed according to the meaning of the Spirit, and that sinners would be born again, hearts of stone taken away, and hearts of flesh given, and that there may be water for the thirsty, that there may be bread for the hungry. Lord, look down upon us in mercy, and come among us, and bless us with the work of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg and pray thee, help all thy servants throughout the world on this day to proclaim not only death in Adam, but life in Christ through him and him crucified, through him who came not only to fulfill thy law for transgressors, but also who came in the flesh so that he would have a body to be able to give as a sacrifice. Oh, wilt thou draw then sinners unto thyself? May they be brought nigh by thy blood. Lord, remember then in thy mercy, wilt thou take away all that would be a hindrance in preaching and in listening? Lord, we beg and pray thee that thy kingdom may come throughout the entire world among Jew and Gentile. Lord, bless it. Thou art the King of the church, and without thee we can do nothing. And may thy word yet be proclaimed, and that thou would gather, as thou hast promised, they will come from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, that thou wilt gather them as that good shepherd thou wilt seek and save lost sinners, and there will be one fold, one shepherd. Oh, may we then beg thee, may we and our children, oh, may it be, gracious Savior, that the whole congregation, by thy grace, may be made thy sheep, and that we may know that only comfort in life and in death. Thou art the Almighty God. Thou hast saved 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost, and thou art that same living, faithful, merciful, and gracious God. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember also those who are sick. Lord, thou knowest each one with the cares for the body and for the mind. May we ask thee especially that thou would remember Mr. Jeff Veldesgraf. Bless the means for his body, but bless especially the means of grace, thy precious word for his never dying soul. Oh, may it be by thy grace that this affliction is a blessing for his soul, for the souls of his family, but also for the whole congregation. Sanctify this calling, Lord. Lord, we ask thee then, come among us tonight, and may we be able to say at the end of this service, it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Lord, pass us not by. Look upon us in mercy. Come and bless thy word. Give ears to hear, minds to understand, hearts to receive. Oh, that hearts become broken by thy goodness. Oh, may they hear of the wonders of thy grace, and that they may taste a little something of thy mercy, of thy grace, through those merits of thy dear Son. Lord, we beg thee then, there is no reason in us. We sin everything away, but we plead and beg upon him who is sitting at thy right hand, in whom thou hast said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Lord, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue with singing from Psalter 47, the first four stanzas and 7 and 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7 and 8. My God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me, thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. Psalter 47, 1 through 4, 7 and 8. And the collection this evening is for the Terra Home. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Congregation, for this Good Friday service, I would like to draw your attention to the precious Word of God, which we can read in Matthew 15, verse 37 and 38. Mark 15, verse 37 and 38. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. So far from God's precious word. The theme is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rent veil. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rent veil. Three thoughts. Why was there a veil? We need to begin with that this evening, to understand and to see with the Lord's blessing the beauty that the veil was rent. So why was there a veil? So that's the first thought. Second, who rent that veil? Who rent the veil, children? Did the high priest? Who did it? We hope to hear. And last, what does this tell us? It's a message. It's a beautiful message on Good Friday that veil is rent. So the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rent veil. Why is there a veil? Who rent the veil? And what does this tell us? And so with the Lord's help, our first thought, why was there a veil? Congregation, children, why did we come to church tonight? We came to church tonight because we especially remember that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. He was nailed on the cross, and he died a cursed death. And what happened when he died? What did we read in those two texts? Especially in verse 38, we read that the veil was rent. When he died, the veil was rent. But why was there a veil? It's a message. It's a message to the Israelites, and it's also a message to us. Why was there a veil? Well, to answer this question, why there was a veil between the holies and the holies of holies, where God dwelt, we need to go back to paradise for a moment, because we will never understand the beauty of the gospel and the wonders of the works of God until we know and see how God created us and what man was before the fall and what man made himself by the fall. The only way to understand the beauty of the gospel is to understand the need. To understand why. Why, when Jesus died, was that veil rent? So for a moment, let's go back to paradise. God created. He created you and me in his image, perfect. But something also in paradise, which was so beautiful. What was it? That Adam and Eve was perfect? Yes, but something else. They lived with enjoyment every day in communion with God. That was in paradise. There was no separation. There was no separation between an infinite holy God and man. And every day Adam and Eve, before the fall, lived in sweet communion with the Lord. And every day God could freely, delightfully, joyfully could communicate with man. Why? Because Adam and Eve were pure. They were holy. They were a reflection of his image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And this was a delight for God. And this was also a daily delight for Adam. But it didn't remain this way. No. It didn't. How long did it last? We don't know. The Bible is silent. But this situation, this beautiful situation of this delightful, sweet communion, God with his creature and Adam, man with God, radically changed completely. How did this happen? Adam willfully rebelled against God. He ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They gave their ear and listened and trusted the voice of Satan instead of the voice of God. And in this exact moment, man became unholy, became polluted, became completely corrupt, became worthy of death. Adam and Eve were expelled from paradise because of their sin. God could not any longer have delightful communion with his creature. Communion was cut off. They were separated from a holy God. God, so to speak, said to Adam and Eve, "Adam and Eve, you cannot live any longer in my presence. I cannot look upon you anymore because I am too pure and too holy to look upon sin. I am holy, Adam and Eve, and you have made yourself unholy. You can no longer enjoy sweet communion with me. You cannot live in a precious fellowship with me any longer." And God, to make sure Adam and Eve understood the consequences of their sin and that communion was cut off because of their sin, they were expelled. God expelled them from paradise. And he drove them out of paradise. And he put that flaming sword to protect the way to the tree of life. Listen to what we read in Genesis 3, verse 24. "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." God, by this act, said, there's a separation. The door is closed, cut off, no fellowship. There's a separation between me, a holy God, and a sinner. So we see here something of the attributes of God. He's infinite holy. He's infinitely just. He's infinitely righteous. And he cannot tolerate sin. And therefore man had to be expelled from paradise. And the door was guarded by the flaming sword. So why is there a veil? The veil is there. It's a picture because of our sin. It's a picture of separation that we made, that man made. No, not God, that we made. It's our guilt. It's a picture of a separation between God and man. Is there hope? Is there hope for fallen, totally depraved enemies that only have their backs to God? Yes. Why? Because immediately, before God even expelled Adam and Eve from paradise, he proclaimed them hope. He proclaimed them of a coming Messiah, that the seed of the woman would come, and that he would crush the serpent's head, and that he would deliver a people by his sacrifice. And God did more. He sacrificed animals to clothe Adam and Eve. Blood was already shed. That the Messiah would come and that he would conquer Satan. And that through him there was hope. Why was there a veil? Because of the separation. And to understand now even more a picture of the veil, then we also need to go to the Old Testament time of worship. Through the instruction of the ceremonial law and the way of worship, God was speaking. There was a separation between God and sinful man. God is speaking, you cannot just come into my presence anymore. You need to come with a sacrifice, and there needs to be blood, or you will immediately perish. The Lord taught the Israelites, and it's all a lesson unto us also tonight on Good Friday, that he is infinite holy, and we are just unholy, sinful. And that we cannot come into God's presence. We cannot. And there's a people born again. And by God's grace, long hunger and thirst for him. And long for that distance, that separation to be taken away. They long for communion. And the Lord already instructed, not only by that first promise, Messiah, of the Messiah in Genesis 3, verse 15, but also by the instruction of the tabernacle. He instructed them in two things: a closed door, but also an open door of a hope coming in the future. The way to God was closed by sin, and it could only be opened by a sacrifice. Every sacrifice in the tabernacle, in the temple, pointed to what, children? Pointed to the need of the coming Lamb of God, and that he would be sacrificed, that he would give his blood. All the sacrifices all pointed to that precious Messiah that needed to come, that needed to give himself as that only sacrifice and to give his blood. The broken relationship between God and man that man made could only be taken away, could only be taken away by the Messiah, by the Lamb of God. And the Israelites, they saw three veils. Three, yes. First, there was that veil around the whole tabernacle, speaking to them. But then the tabernacle itself was a veil. No person could just enter, only a priest. But then the veil that we read in this text, the veil that separated from the holies and the holy of holies. God is speaking. Why is there a veil? It's because of sin. And no one can just come into my presence because I am holy and I am a consuming fire. And so the Lord, through this instruction, taught them of a closed way because of their sin, but also the hope of the only way. All those sacrifices, all that blood pointing to one to come, to the surety, to the mediator, to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he promised would come. Think of the prophecy of Isaiah 53. What a beautiful chapter. It's like Isaiah was standing there by the cross and seeing that promise of the Messiah fulfilled, of his blood, of his sacrifice. The only way that veil, the only way the door could be opened that we closed with our sin, the only way that separation can be taken away is by him who said, I am the door, I am the way. So only by him, only if he would come, only if he would come, fulfill the law for transgressors, only if he would come in the flesh, having a body, that he could give the sacrifice, that he would shed his blood. Because that's the only thing that would satisfy the justice of God. That's the only way the door could be opened. That's the only way that veil could be opened. And the Lord Jesus Christ, open your Bibles to Hebrews 10. The Lord Jesus Christ, that Messiah, he longed to come. It was his delight to come. And we read in Hebrews 10, verse 7. Hebrews 10, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. The Lord Jesus had a longing to come. A longing to come in the body. We read in that previous verse, in verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. They could be offered all those lambs, all those bullocks, all that blood, but the Lord was not satisfied because there wasn't that payment that satisfied him. But the Lord Jesus had a longing to come to do the will of God. Children, do you do bad things sometimes? Do you disobey? Simply, do you sin, even against your parents? And does it come that your parents say, they see your tears when you speak to them, and they say, well, this time we'll let it go. This time, it's okay. Next time, I need to punish you. And I say this with much reverence. Is this God? Can God just look the other way? Can God just pass over sin? Can God have communion with sinners without sin being paid for, without his justice being satisfied? No. He said, but he by no means can clear the guilty. God must punish sin. For that separation to be taken away, it needs to be paid, it needs to be removed. And now another picture. A closed door and an open door. Another picture through that day of atonement that God gave the people. The high priest, once a year, could come into the presence of God. He needed to make a sacrifice. He needed blood for himself. He needed blood for the people. And if he didn't obey, he would die. On that day of atonement, it was a joyful day of worship for the Israelites, especially those that had that true saving faith, because then they may believe that all their sins were atoned for. However, the high priest, he exited the Holy of Holies. He went out. And then what happened? The curtain was shut again. The veil was shut, closed. No one, absolutely no one, could enter in through that veil for another whole year. Every year, what needed to be happened? Every year, more blood. Every year, more sacrifices, as we read in Hebrews 10, verse 3 and 4. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. However, tonight, Good Friday, tonight is the day of full atonement that Christ made, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave himself. He came in the flesh to give his flesh to be rent so that the curtain itself could be rent, could be opened. On the Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement, on Good Friday, the Lord Jesus Christ, he made full, complete, and real God-satisfying sacrifice. God's justice was satisfied with the atonement of his Son. And it wasn't a sacrifice of an animal this time, right, children? It was the sacrifice of the high priest, Jesus Christ himself. He gave his own blood. He didn't have a substitute. No, he gave himself. He gave his body to be broken. He poured out everything. He poured out his life. He poured out his blood. He gave everything. Why? He gave himself to the sword of God's justice. Why? To open the way. To open the way closed, to open that veil, so to speak, to take away the separation. The Lord Jesus Christ from eternity, I come, I delight to do thy will. He had a longing to come in the flesh. And he said, as we read in Hebrews 10 verse 5, a body hast thou prepared me. Why? So that he could give it as that sacrifice, as the Lamb of God, that he could give himself. And that's why John the Baptist, when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, he pointed to him. As we read in John 1 verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God. That's also the message of Good Friday. Poor, needy, wretched, guilty, hungering, thirsty, sinner, longing for communion, longing for that separation to take away. I may also point you to the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. All those words of John the Baptist, know the word of God, when those poor, convicted, and convinced sinners who know a little something of their sin, and by the grace of God, hunger and thirst, that there may be a little taste of communion, that there may be a little fellowship, that the Lord could speak to them, and they could speak to him, that they could taste something of his mercy and of his grace. Those sinners that are brought back to paradise. What does that mean? We use that phrase. That they see that they have brought themselves under the curse, brought back to Mount Sinai, that they see that they sinned against God, and they come to know themselves. What? Good? Holy? No. Under the curse. curse. I brought myself under the curse because of my rebellion in my covenant head. It's not his fault. I was with him in him. But also by my own sin. Listen to what Paul wrote in Galatians 3 verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. May I ask, are there cursed sinners tonight? Did you come here guilty? Under the curse? Under the curse because of who you are? Because of your sin? And are you longing, how can I be delivered? How can that separation be taken away? Are you trying? Oh, they try. In our foolishness and our pride, we try so many ways. Instead of listening to the only way, we try to pray better. We try to obey the law better. We try to get rid of this and that. It's all good. But what happens? Does their burden become lighter? Is that separation taken away? No, that burden doesn't get lighter. It gets heavier because they see more sin. And that separation is not taken away. But all then to hear of the Lamb of God, to hear of that sacrifice. Then there comes hope. There comes encouragement. Oh, then they wonder, is that Lamb of God for me? Did he pay for me? Did he take away that separation for me? Why is there a veil? They learn something about that veil in their own experience. That they're separated from God. And they learn something of the curse that they deserve. They want it taken away. And it becomes precious just to hear the gospel message for their souls. That the precious Savior, he gave himself so willingly for a sinner. That so willingly left God. He came voluntarily to do his will. And I only voluntarily do my own will. What a wonder that he came to suffer, to die, to be cursed on the cross, to be crucified. He was sinless, but he became a curse. He became cursed for burdened, guilty sinners who have nothing and long for communion with God. Jesus Christ suffered excruciating, deep pains in his body, but also in his soul. And he was made a curse. They learned something of the curse, but then to hear that he was made a curse, which Paul continues in Galatians 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. For guilty sinners who know a little something, that they left God, that they're cursed, that they're sinful, that there's that separation, that there's a veil, Good Friday, by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, can become such a good Friday in the soul. How? To see more of their sin? That's all they deserve. That's all they deserve. And God would be just, even on Good Friday, that all we would hear of wrath and justice, that there is no way. But Good Friday speaks of hope. Speaks of hope. Speaks of a precious way opened. They long to hear what? They long to hear a little something of that Messiah, of that crucified one, of that one who gave his hands, who gave his feet to be pierced, to be nailed to the cross. That I should be nailed there, that I should be cursed, but that he took my place. Oh, could it be for me, for this wretch? It becomes such a Good Friday when you may see a little something of that Savior that's revealed of him crucified. The Lord Jesus Christ, he's been on the cross for various hours. It became very dark. And what did he cry out? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. What does it mean? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you see what sin caused? That precious Savior? No, not only his physical pain, not only the pain in his soul, but also, you see what sin did? Sin separates from God. Jesus Christ himself also experienced it. God the Father, so to speak, turned his face away and couldn't look upon his dear son that he loved infinitely. Why? Because he was made sin who knew no sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ, for the first time in his whole life, all of eternity, experienced a little something of missing the communion with his Father. May I say it this way? He experienced a little something of a veil. Of a veil. And it wasn't because of his sin. It was because of the sin of wretched sinners. It's because of the sins of all his people. And then the Lord Jesus cried, I thirst. Oh, he thirsted in his body, as we heard last Sunday. But oh, he thirsted in his soul also. For what? For communion with his Father. And then he cried, it is finished. Finished. Do you hear it, sinner? Finished. What did he finish? All the work that God the Father placed upon him. He finished it. It was all accomplished. Salvation for thy dear people. Oh, Holy Father, I have accomplished it. Finished. Do you hear it, sinner? Finished. This means there's nothing. Absolutely nothing you can add. And there's nothing that you need to add and trying to add. And in our foolishness, we try to add. We try to add with our tears. We try to add with this. But what does that mean? That means that we are denying that full payment of him. Oh, by grace and by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, to just to be able to rest, to trust, to look to him and to him crucified. Oh, that's a place of peace, congregation. That's such a place of peace. When you may just see him and his blood and his broken body, there's nothing else that gives peace. Because looking within, and we need it. Why? So that we look to him, that all comes to death. But there is no peace. No peace in any other way but in him and in him crucified. And now that he has accomplished everything, I thirst, it's finished. Then we read in Mark 15, verse 37, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Or as we read in Luke 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. And we read in John 19, verse 30, and he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. What does this teach us? No man can give his life up. I saw that with my father dying. He couldn't give his life up. But there's only one. And that's that precious Savior. He gave his life. No, he's not a victim. He's not a martyr. No, on Good Friday, he's the conqueror. He's the victor. He's that precious Savior, the Lamb of God, who willingly gave himself to satisfy the infinite justice of God. And what happened then? What happened instantly? When he had finished everything, gave up the ghost, commended his spirit into the hands of his Father, placing it all to his Father, all before him. What happened? Then that veil was rent. The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. As soon as Jesus Christ died, as soon as he had finished everything, the last breath gone, and that veil was rent. And so we come to our second thought. Who rent the veil? Who did, children? Who rent that veil? Now, when we think of the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, it was the third hour of the day. And he died at the ninth hour. So by our calculation, it means that Jesus Christ was crucified at the 9 o'clock in the morning, the same time as the morning sacrifice. And it means that he died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That was the same time as the evening sacrifice. So the timing of his death is remarkable. Now, can you imagine being that high priest, or the priest, I should say, going into the temple to sacrifice, the evening sacrifice? And maybe, we don't know, maybe it was exactly at the time that he was doing the evening sacrifice. Maybe he was walking in. Maybe he was in the middle of it. I don't know. But one thing, could you imagine? Suddenly, that veil is rent from top to bottom. I'm sure that priest was frightened, opened to the holies of holies. Am I going to die? Am I going to perish immediately? And when you think of this veil, we have curtains in our home, right? Teenagers, children, thin little curtains. And with some force, we can rip them. We can rip them in half with some effort. But this veil in the temple, it's so different. And we read the history books, we read that this curtain, this veil, was 4 inches thick. It was 60 feet tall. So it was a very heavy, it was interwoven, it was a very strong, thick curtain. And I read somewhere that it took 300 priests to carry this veil. But suddenly this veil is rent from the top to the bottom. Who did this? Did the high priest? Absolutely not. He wouldn't dare, because he knew he would die. God the Father, at the moment of his son's death, rent the veil from the top to the bottom. And he proclaims to all the Israelites, to all the priests of the time, no more sacrifices needed. No more blood. No more animals. Not one lamb. Not one lamb needs to be sacrificed. Not one drop of blood needs to be shed anymore. All the animal sacrifices were at an absolute end. Why? Because of the one sacrifice. The one sacrifice, the one full sacrifice, the one complete sacrifice. The sacrifice of who? Because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Because the Lamb of God died. Because the Lamb of God gave himself as a sacrifice. God opened the curtain. God rent it. God the Father, he's telling us today on Good Friday, also through this rent veil, he is saying, by your sin you've closed the way, but I have provided a way. Yes, it's all the provision of God, of that almighty, eternal, triune God, that overflowing fountain of all good for absolute wretches that have nothing, didn't even desire a way back to him, didn't even desire communion. But he provided it all through his son. He is saying, the door is open. The door is open. I myself has opened that way upon the merits of my dear son. God, in a very dramatic way, spoke through this act the purpose why his dear son came and why his dear son died and what it meant. Why did he come? To do the will of the Father. What was the will of the Father? To take away that veil, to take away that separation, to take away that separation between him and sinners. God is saying, by the rending of the veil, My son has accomplished. But my heart longed from eternity. For how shall I place the people among myself to be with me? And now, finally, he has said it's finished. And God the Father is saying, amen, it's finished. It's accepted. And he rent the curtain. He rent the veil. He is saying, My son has made an infinite payment, and that infinite payment has infinitely satisfied my infinite justice and my infinite holiness. And so through him, I can proclaim the way is opened. The way is opened unto me. The way is opened unto my heart for wretched sinners through the blood of my dear son. I would like to mention 3 things about that rent veil. First, that veil was rent from the bottom to the top, Was it rent horizontally? No. It was rent from the top to the bottom. What does that mean? God did it. God the Father did it. He did it. What does it tell us? Salvation is of God. It's of God to man. Man made the curtain. But God, the wonders of His grace, of His goodness and mercy, He has opened the way. He has opened the way through His Son, through the blood and the sacrifice of His Son. Sinners, you who are longing for that way, what's the way back to the heart of God? God has provided. He's saying on Good Friday, the way back to me is through my Son. There is no other way. How else? What else about this rent? Did man help? Did the high priest help? No, the high priest had nothing to do with it. No man helped. No man at all. God did it. God rented. What does that mean? It teaches us, by all our works, by everything of ourselves, that curtain will forever remain shut. But God has done it. It comes out of the very heart of God. Because from man's side, that curtain, that veil, would forever remain closed. God did it. He did it from top to bottom. It comes from Him, and He did it for man. And what else? Well, we read something in Luke 23, verse 46. Luke 23, verse 46. And the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. What does that mean? The curtain wasn't just rent on the side. No, it was rent right exactly in the middle. Right completely in the middle. Why? So that it could be opened wide to the fullest. To the fullest. God opened it. He rent it from top to bottom in the very middle. And He's saying, the way is wide open for the chiefest and the greatest and the vilest of sinners back to my heart through my Son. What a wonder. What a message of Good Friday. What a sweet message that the way is open. The way is open. God is speaking. I'm satisfied. The way is open. He's saying, sinner, look only through my Son. Look unto my Son. Look through Him. Come to me through Him. Because Him is the way that is open. All other ways you will only meet a closed curtain. A closed veil. God opened it. He's speaking. It's a message. It's a precious gospel message. The rent veil through the rent flesh of His Son. And oh, how it must have rent the heart of God to put His own Son to death. But He did it willingly. No, we read in Isaiah 53, He did it with pleasure. He did it with pleasure. He rent His Son. He put Him to death. And Jesus Christ gave Himself willingly to be rent under the wrath of God, that that way can be opened for the chiefest of sinners. Have you ever come to a door and you knock on it and you knock on it and finally that door opens a little crack and the people talk to you, but they have their foot against the door and you talk to them, you tell you while you're there, you ask, can I come in? But the door doesn't open anymore. What's that telling you? They don't trust you and you're not welcome to enter in. Congregation, God the Father opened it. He rented. And He opened it in the middle. He opened it. And may I say it this way? As John Bunyan says, come and welcome through my precious Savior, through my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The way is open. Open through Him. My justice is satisfied. The payment is paid and absolute complete. He drank the cup of wrath. There is no more cup of wrath. Through Him and through Him alone, there's only a cup of mercy and grace that overflows. Oh, sinner, you may come and drink from that cup on Good Friday because of Him, because of His Son, because of Him. The one who hung on the cross is that precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And He suffered and He paid. He gave His life. He gave His blood so that that veil, that separation, that wall, that door, back to God could be opened. And may I ask you, has your heart been opened? Or is your heart still closed? That you and me by nature, we hear the preciousness of the gospel. And by nature, it only remains closed because we're enemies, we're sinners, we're wicked. But has your heart been opened? Who opened the heart? No, not you. I never opened my heart. It remained closed. But God, God of his grace, God, because of the merits of his Son, he seeks and he finds sinners and he rends their heart. He breaks their heart. He opens their heart. He renews their heart. He pours grace in the heart. He breaks their heart. And they repent and they become to believe. They become to believe who they are, but also who God is and who his Son is in a that way. So have you tasted something of his grace for such a wretch as you? May you say something of him, of that precious one, that he came, that he rent your heart, that he opened your eyes, he enlightened your mind, he renewed your will, he made you willing. Then tonight, it's all because of him, because of his work on Good Friday, because the grace only flows unto unworthy sinners upon the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you know something of this, then he's so worthy also on Good Friday to be praised. And if you miss it, listen, let's sing. Let's sing about it from Psalter 292, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies ever sure. From eternity have stood, to eternity endure. Let his ransomed people raise songs to their Redeemer's praise. Psalter 292, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Thank you. may the Lord remember also the needs. The rent veil. Why was there a veil? Because of sin. Have you experienced something in your heart, in your life? No, not that you see a litter veil, but there's a separation between you and God because of your sin. And have you seen a little something of a hope in another, of a hope of that way to be opened, that it could be opened not from your side ever, it would forever remain shut. But have you seen something of a hope of another, that it could be opened? Or have you been led further to see that open curtain, to be able to see that way back? Back to God. Back to the very heart that your heart longs for, thirsts for. Let's conclude by opening your Bibles, where we've heard some things, what it tells us already, but to listen to what God wrote through his servant Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2, verse 13. Ephesians 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Or you could read it this way. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Made nigh. How? Did you hear it, sinner? Did you hear it? How can you be brought nigh to the heart of God? What's the message for poor, wretched, guilty, hell-worthy, hopeless sinners on Good Friday? Brought nigh by the blood. Is that what you long for? That's the heart of grace. That's the heart in the core. That hearing news and they want to be brought nigh to God. They not only are brought back to paradise to their guilt, they want to experience back that communion that Adam had. They want to have sweet communion with God. They want to be made nigh, nigh to God. And who longs? Who longs for them to be brought nigh? There's someone else that longs deeper than they long. And that's the hope. That's the rock of salvation. That's God the Father. God the Father, we see that in the parable of the prodigal son. All that son came home, and he was coming. The Father saw him. He saw him the moment that he came in the distance. How do we know? Because he ran. He ran. He ran to meet him. That means that he was looking. That's God the Father. He's longing. He's longing for sinners to be brought by, to brought nigh unto him. So it all begins in him. In him. And that's the security also on Good Friday. Because we're just wretches. But it's secure. It's firm. And that almighty, sovereign, covenant-keeping Jehovah comes of the heart of God that he longs for them to be brought nigh. And Jesus Christ came to give his blood. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, sinners long, and by the application, are brought nigh by the blood. God spoke by the rending of the curtain. Atonement has been made. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Sinner, look to my son. Look to him. Come to me through him. Come to me through him and him alone, because through him, through my son, I can receive you and I can embrace you as a son. No, you will not be received as a servant. You'll be received as a son. What wonders of God's grace, Good Friday, through the blood of Jesus Christ, sinners may be brought nigh, back to the heart, back to those arms. Back to those arms that we closed with our sins. And God the Father, through his Son, through speaking through that rent veil, all satisfied, I can embrace you. Not because of anything of you, but I can embrace you as my Son, because of my Son, because of his blood. Oh, what wonders. Congregation, seek it in him. Seek it all in Him. It's all in Him. In that triune God, the love of the Father, the love of the Son, and the love of the Holy Spirit. Salvation is of God. Good Friday is all about Him. What He has provided for those who only are in the midst of death and have nothing. And they may draw nigh by His blood. One more text. Open your Bible to Hebrews 10 again. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So let's take a few words. Having therefore, this refers to what Christ has done. That's the therefore. Because of His work, because of His sacrifice, because of His blood, all because of Him. Now therefore, brethren, who are that? The whole church? Everyone? No, those are those believers, those poor, wretched sinners who by God's grace, their hearts were rent. Refers to all the sheep, to those who are born again, who know something of repentance and faith, as small, as weak as it may be. Boldness, what does that mean? It means liberty. It means confidence. No, it's not a negative boldness. We think of a boldness. No, it's not negative. It speaks of liberty. Have liberty. Have confidence. Trust. Therefore, brethren, have confidence. To what? To come into the holies. The holies of holies. What's that speaking of? To come into the presence of God. To the presence of God. How? How? In what way? By faith alone. In Christ alone, in His blood alone. Hebrews 10, verse 20. By a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us. What way? Through the veil, that is to say, through His flesh. To say His flesh. What a blessed message on Good Friday. The way is opened. Opened. And God speaks through His word. That there's a way to be brought, no, not just close, but nigh. Brought back to God through His Son, through the blood, and through the sacrifice. And He even speaks. And who would dare say that I may come into the presence of God? That I may come with confidence. That I may come trusting. But God writes it unto us to take courage, to come in His Son. To be received as a son. The high priest. He could only be in the holies of holies. For a few moments. And then it was shut. And he had to leave. For another whole year. But through the blood. Through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We began going back to paradise. But now we may also end with speaking of coming paradise. Because of Him. Because of the high priest. Because of His sacrifice, because of His blood, and because God the Father was satisfied, then those recipients of grace, His sheep, may enter forever. Forever, not for a few moments. Not just little tastes upon this earth, and those are so precious. So precious. And that's life. But heaven will be forever. And the holiest of holies, no veil. No veil to hide His face. No more through a glass darkly. But to see Him. To know Him. Him looking upon you. And you looking upon Him. And to be known as you are known. And then they shall be satisfied. All because of Good Friday. All because of the love of the Father. All because of the love of the Son. And all because of the love of that Holy Spirit. All glory to Him. But are you a recipient of His grace? And if you are, all glory to Him and to Him alone. Seek it all in Him and through Him who rent His flesh, who opened the veil, who opened the way back to God. It's all in Him and in Him alone. Amen. Almighty Eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, may we be humbled under Thy mercy. Lord, Thou hast given us Thy precious word to make us wise unto that only way of salvation. Oh, by the application of the Holy Spirit, may it have been so tonight that hearts were rent, that I'm sinful, I'm a wretch, but also that those hearts that are rent and opened, oh, may they be given eyes to see that way back to the one that they long for, because thou hast planted in their hearts that longing, that hunger, that thirst for thee. Lord, remember each one of us. Guide us, keep us, and protect us. May we go home. Keep us on the roads, Lord. Remember the needs also of all that has taken place in this service. Care, give health, spare life, and look upon in mercy. Lord, bring us again together in thy house on Easter. Oh, wilt thou give us a blessing of him who is risen, that he would visit us. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for thy help, for thy precious word. Wash and cleanse us of all our sin in listening and in preaching. Blot it out, and that all atoning blood of the Lamb we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us sing now Psalter 261, stanzas 1 and 2. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy triumph to his cause have brought. 261, stanzas 1 and 2. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.